So this morning's first scripture reading is Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. Now the man knew his wife Eve, and she conceived and bore Cain, saying, I have produced a man with the help of the Lord. Next she bore his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, and Cain a tiller of the ground. In the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground. And Abel, for his part, brought of the firstlings of his flock, their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offerings, but for Cain and his offering he had no regard. So Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. The Lord said to Cain, Why are you angry, and why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, you will not be accepted. But if you do not do well, sin is lurking at the door. Its desire is for you, but you must master it.
All right, our second scripture reading, also taken from the book of Genesis. Continuation in chapter 4, beginning with verse 8. Cain said to his brother Abel, Let us go out to the field. And when they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother Abel and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, Where is your brother Abel? He said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? And the Lord said, What have you done? Listen, your brother's blood is crying out to me from the ground. And now you are cursed from the ground, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you till the ground, it will no longer yield to you its strength. You will be a fugitive and a wanderer on the earth. Cain said to the Lord, My punishment is greater than I can bear. Today you have driven me away from the soil. And I shall be hidden from your face. I shall be a fugitive and a wanderer of the earth. Anyone who meets me may kill me. Then the Lord said to him, Not so. Whoever kills Cain will suffer a sevenfold vengeance. And the Lord put a mark on Cain, so that no one who came upon him would kill him. And then Cain went away from the presence of the Lord. He settled in the land of Nod, east of Eden. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. At its essence, the story of Cain and Abel is a story about rejection. These two men were brothers. They were the offspring of Adam and Eve. Abel was a keeper of sheep, a shepherd, and Cain a tiller of the ground, a farmer. Now both of them were devoted to God, and both wanted to express their devotion by giving to God an offering. And understandably, both would bring an offering of the Lord which reflected their particular skill. Cain was a farmer, a tiller of the ground, and so in the course of time, Cain brought his offering from the fruit of the ground. Abel was a shepherd, a caregiver of sheep, and so he offered one of his flock to the Lord. And the result was this: the Lord had regard for Abel's offering, but for Cain and his offering, he had no regard. Well, how many of us have stood in the place of Cain? When you pour yourself out and sacrifice, and the answer is no, not good enough to make the cut. We are told that he was very angry, and his countenance fell. That is, his disappointment showed all over his face. I was in high school, and I tried out for the played Little League and I played Pony League baseball, and I thought myself pretty much qualified to make this team, although just how many people were trying out for the baseball team. Still, I was confident. But then came the day when they posted the names of the ones who made the team, and I'm looking over this list. My name wasn't on there. I was angry. I was angry at the coach because he didn't choose me. I was angry at certain players because they were chosen and I wasn't. And like Cain, my disappointment showed all over my face. And once you introduce God into the mix, it intensifies those feelings even more. You know, perhaps you have made an offering of prayer to God when you earnestly prayed that a door of opportunity would be open to you, a job, a relationship. The door remained closed. And you see those doors of opportunity seemingly open for other people who, frankly, well, don't seem as worthy. Why wasn't my offering good enough? Or maybe you offered up a plea to God for, you know, about somebody you care deeply about, and a plea that God would heal this person or deliver that person from some kind of destructive behavior, and those pleas seem to go unheard. It's hard not to see this. So the question is, how do we respond to the judgment? Well, he said to his brother, after he was rejected, "Let us go out into the field." And when they were in the field, we are told, Cain rose up and struck down his brother Abel and killed him. Now that response may seem pretty extreme, but it does speak to that hostility that churns within us when we experience rejection. Now, even though none of us is guilty of the extreme violent reaction that Cain demonstrated, we have all been guilty of trying to hurt back when we've been hurt by rejection. So consider some of the terrible acts of violence that you see taking place in marriages or relationships or friendships. And usually when you dig beneath the surface, rejection is playing a role. I'm done with you because of the person you are. You're irresponsible. You can't hold down a job. I've decided I just don't like your personality. These are rage-producing words. And something to consider. The degree of hostility that we feel is directly proportional to how much we have invested in the one who has rejected us. You know, if Cain truly didn't love God, if he wasn't devoted to God and wanted to express that by way of his offering, he wouldn't have cared as deeply if God rejected him. He said, "I have other things I have to tend to." But Cain and sincerely wanted to please him. Some have suggested that Cain didn't bring the best to the Lord because the Bible says Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground and Abel brought the firstlings of his flock. And that's why God had favor on Abel and not on Cain. But I don't think Cain would have reacted the way he did if he had not brought his best. You know, I was thinking if I didn't care about making the high school baseball team, it wouldn't have hurt nearly as much. Now, I think we need to dig a little deeper with this story. And I think it's worth noting that God did not reject Cain as a person. He rejected his offering. You know, God is sovereign. He is free to have preference concerning what he wants and what he doesn't want. And so he says to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted?" God is giving Cain another chance. He's saying, go out, find another. offering, which I will be glad to accept. And notice there's no response from Cain. His mind's made up. He can't wrestle with what God is offering to him. And so he goes out full of pain and strikes down his brother. And so it would do us well in the aftermath of rejection to pause before lashing out. You know, and I want to say to Cain, if you would just look up, and you will see that there are other options here. Cain, talk to your brother. Cain, pray. It's okay to ask why. Ask him. Ask him to help so you can know what to do. But Cain only saw his own hurt and his anger. And so in the aftermath of this murder, the Lord says to Cain, "Where is your brother?" Cain says, "I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper?" And of course, Cain knew what he had done. But as often what we do as humans is when we commit a wrongdoing, we try to cover it up with another wrongdoing. I have no idea where my brother is. Just as Adam and Eve tried to hide from the presence of the Lord after eating the forbidden fruit, we see Cain trying to hide the facts from the Lord. But God sees everything. And so here is Cain's punishment. God says to him, "When you till the ground, from this time forward, it will no longer yield to you its strength. You will be a fugitive and a wanderer on the earth." And as was similar with Adam and Eve, God doesn't kill Cain off to punish him. He makes him a fugitive and a wanderer of the earth. In fact, God protects Cain. It says, "The Lord put a mark on Cain so that no one who came upon him would cause him harm or kill him." Now ponder this. Who are the descendants of Cain? Because Abel, he doesn't live on past this story. He's killed off. We are the descendants of Cain, this one who is the fugitive and the wanderer of the earth. And as descendants of Cain, what are our takeaways supposed to be in this ancient story? Well, one is that rejection is a given. Everyone will experience it. And with rejection, anger, with rejection comes that desire to hurt back in some way. Much of what we experience in life doesn't just fall into place the way we would like to. God sometimes seems to be closing more doors than he's opening to us. So it's hard to be faithful. And God's message to us is, be faithful anyway. God said to Cain, "If you do not do well, sin is lurking at the door. Its desire is for you. You must master it." And the other takeaway, God gives us the freedom to choose. And as we discovered with Adam and Eve last week, this freedom that we are given can set us up for some destructive choices, as well as good ones. The destructive choice is not the only choice. The failure of Cain was not his rage. It was how he chose to act upon it. We can make choices for the good, even as upon us. Sin is lurking at the door. It's designed for you. Will you choose to have it master you? Well, as is so often the model that we have is our Lord Jesus, the Son of God. He knew rejection. One of the earliest prophecies about Jesus in the Old Testament, found in Isaiah chapter 53, says this: "He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief." And that would be the motif of Jesus' life. When Jesus stood in the synagogue in the hometown where he grew up, and he read the words from the prophet Isaiah, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to bring good news to the poor and to proclaim release to the captives, to let the oppressed go free," you would think there would be loud cheering and clapping. But instead, they said, "Who do you think you are?" And the Bible tells us they tried to throw Jesus off a cliff. That's rejection. Now, he got away, but they did try to do that. The Gospel of John says the world came into being through Jesus, yet the world did not know him. He came into what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. Jesus said, "I am the way, I am the truth, and the life." And the religious leaders of his day said, "We are the way. You are the lie. You deserve death." And so, they sentenced Jesus. And when Jesus was on the cross, at his lowest moment, he said, my God, why have you forsaken me?" It appeared that even God himself had rejected him. And yet, Jesus remained faithful. But of course, that's Jesus, not us. We don't have the capacity to deal with rejection as we should. The only way that we can be like Jesus is if the power of Jesus, if the strength of Jesus, the Spirit of Jesus is at work in our lives. And that's our choice also. Because without Christ, we remain the fugitives and the wanderers of the earth. Apart from Christ, we cannot be Christ. Jesus said, "I am the vine. You are the branches. Cut off from me, you can do nothing." Ourselves connected to that vine. He gives us life and love and forgiveness. Amen.